Trust me, we weren't going anywhere without you. So we would have definitely waited. Not a problem. Not a problem. Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. I couldn't help but thinking there, oh, they tell me, you know, about that unclouded day. I thought, you know, maybe the people that live in Oregon and Washington appreciate that song more than we do, you know, especially in the summertime. We would take a few cloudy days in the summertime, but they probably do rejoice when there's not so much. All righty? Okay. We're going to look here in Romans chapter 6, but first I'm going to drag that microphone over here. Well, I thought it was. Flip that thing over. Hello. Just flip it up. All right, good. Put that up here. I got word through, thank you, man. Oh, you have to stay way away from me. Hold it out there, you know. I got word through some of our folks on YouTube that the sound is better when we have both these microphones, so we want sound to be good. Amen. And I don't want anybody out there, you know, saying, well, I'm not listening, the sound's no good. So Romans 6, if you will, verse 12, the Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, Amen. That ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Amen. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, Amen. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Amen. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Boy, over and over in this passage that we've read, we see that word yield. Yield. And I don't know if you've ever watched any Congress, you know, where they're debating or talking. And but oftentimes, if you watch Congress, you'll see and you'll hear somebody ask a question, will the gentleman yield? Will the gentleman yield? And I suppose, too, sometimes, will the gentlewoman yield, you know? And what that is one member has the floor. And he has the floor for a certain amount of time, and they give them each that amount of time. But another member maybe would like to speak, and so oftentimes you'll hear that request, and sometimes you'll hear the one speaking say, I yield to the gentleman from wherever, or, no, I won't yield. Sit down. They probably don't do it just like that, but most, you know, you hear that kind of thing. And I got to thinking, you know, the same kind of thing goes on in you and I as a believer. That kind of thing goes on. The old man has held sway since you were born. Amen. That's the natural man, the lost man, the flesh, if you will, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the new man comes in at salvation. And now, in the person of the Holy Ghost of God, now you have two that are asking you to yield. Two that are asking you to yield to them. I really kind of say it this way. Usually the flesh is not really asking. Usually the flesh, and it's more of not, hey, will you yield to me? Usually the flesh comes and says, yield to me. Right. Amen. It's insistent. It's very demanding. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit comes and asks, will you yield yourself to me? Will you yield yourself to me? Folks, we've got both of those calling upon us. Then it's up to you and I to decide, which will I yield to? Which will I yield myself to? Now, oftentimes you may think, well, what's involved? What do you mean yield? Yield what? Well, I got four things tonight, just real quickly. I'm sure it won't take more than 2 hours. Real quickly, I just want you to look at with me, if you will. Look in chapter 6 here. Look in verse 15, all right? Notice the question, what then shall we sin because you're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Amen. You know, I think one of the first things God wants you to yield to Him is your mind. Right. Will you yield your mind? I believe the Christian faith is not an unreasonable faith. Not at all right? The truth is, I think it makes sense. I really do. I believe everything about the Christian faith makes sense. And there's some things that we look at and we say, well, I don't understand how it's going to work, but God's in it and that makes it work, all right? That makes it work. But it's not an unreasonable faith whatsoever. Those people out there that do strange and sometimes very hurtful things in the name of Christianity, hey, that crowd has no sense, all right? They just have no sense. They don't know what they're doing. The idea, and the reason I had you look at verse 15 there, the idea that maybe we would, because we're no longer under the law, we have that wonderful freedom and that wonderful liberty that we have under grace, the very idea that we can or should sin so in order to receive more grace, that's beyond foolish. Just beyond foolishness. And the Lord, that's why I say to you, man, I believe God wants us to yield our mind to Him. You yield your mind to Him, you wouldn't ask that kind of goofy question, all right? Amen. You wouldn't say, well, let's sin more and we get more grace. No. No, the truth of the matter is you got all you can handle if you'll just serve the Lord, all right? You've got all you know what to do with. A yielded mind won't even think that way. A yielded mind. Yield your mind to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide and direct your thoughts. You know, the Bible tells us over in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8, it lists some things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. And it goes on and it lists, man, just a double handful of things. And then at the very end of that verse, it says, think on these things. Think on these things. You see, that's where our mind needs to be. Are you like me? Do you find your mind sometimes wandering off wherever and whenever it wants to? It'll go, I've sat in church before. The preacher's preaching and, hey, it's not the preacher's fault, it's my fault. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I realize, I got no idea what he's talking about. I quit listening. My mind wandered off and it was somewhere else. Sunday night, used to when I was a teenager, it wandered down to Pizza Inn pretty often, all right? We'd oftentimes go to Pizza Inn after church, you know. And I'd think, man, I've got to reel this thing back in. I need to pay attention. I don't need to just allow my mind to be under the control of the flesh because the flesh takes it away somewhere else. Just, I mean, it'll remove you from what's going on. It's amazing what can come to your mind in a preaching service or when somebody's teaching the Bible. Stuff has nothing to do with anything around you. And before long, you're thinking about that. You're thinking about what you're going to do Tuesday afternoon at 3:30. As if it mattered on Sunday night at 6:30, right? You know, it'll wait. But our mind, it has that propensity. It'll wander away. That's why it's so important that we yield our mind to the Holy Spirit. Let Him have control of it. Let Him take our thoughts. We know when they go astray, so just reel them back in, all right? Just reel them back in. Don't allow them to take you away somewhere you need not be, but let the Holy Spirit, hey, think on those things. Those things are lovely. Those things are of good report. Man, think on those things. Listen, in this day and age and time span, what's going on nowadays, if you get to dwelling on some of the things going on today, you'll lose it. Man, you get upset, get mad, you know. You'll stomp into a store, take it out on the clerk. They didn't do anything to you. Take it easy. Hey, let the Holy Spirit yield. Yield your mind. The Bible says yield. Hey, will the gentleman yield? Will you yield? Who are you going to yield to? Amen. You're going to yield your mind to the flesh? You're going to yield your mind to the Holy Spirit? Let Him direct those thoughts? The Bible says here in verse 13, this is when we usually think of yielding. This is what we think of, verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Your members. Your members. Now, the Bible's real clear about that. You don't have to wonder what your members are. It's your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your tongue, those things. Those are your members. Here they are, all right? Here they are. They're to be yielded as instruments of righteousness. Never forget, man, I was a kid in Sunday school. We'd sing in Sunday school, be careful little eyes, you know. Be careful little hands. Be careful little feet. Be careful little ears. Can I say this to you? Those big ears, those big feet, those big hands, those big eyes, all of them need to be careful too, all right? It didn't cease to need you being careful because they got a little larger, all right? Now, you know, they just because they've increased a little bit, that doesn't mean everything's under control. I absolutely marvel at the movie ratings. And you know, it says, you know, this is PG-13. And this one here is R. And many, many of them ought to be rated not fit for human consumption. But I know, what is it where we think, boy, you reach a certain age, it's okay. You reach a certain age, no problem. I want to tell you something. There's things that'll stick with you when you see them through that eye gate. They'll stick with you forever. You can't reach in there and scrub them out. And it's not just when a teenager's 13 or 14 years old. Hey, you can be 45 years old. You allow yourself to gaze upon some things you're not to be gazing upon. It's there. It is imprinted on your mind. And that doesn't matter, you know, the things we want to recall, we can't recall. But boy, the things we don't want to recall, there they are. And they're in living color. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, yield your members. Those eyes that you've got, they're not yours anymore. They belong to the one that bought you. Those ears that you have, they don't belong to you anymore just so you can hear anything you want to hear. Those hands, they don't belong to you anymore, so you can just do whatever you want to with them. Those feet that you have, they're not yours, so you can just go anywhere. They can take you anywhere you think you want to be. No, they're to be yielded to God. They're to be yielded as instruments of righteousness. I've got a book in my library. It belonged to Dad, and he passed away, and I took it because I don't figure my brother needs it. Actually, it's in the office, I think, here, actually. And it's by R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee was a tremendous preacher, really an orator. And the whole book, the title of it is Yielded Bodies. Yielded Bodies. And it's one sermon after another about yielding your body to the Lord and different members of that body. Hey, listen, yielded bodies produce good fruit. Yielded bodies produce good fruit. You won't yield your body. You're not going to produce good fruit. That's why the Bible says instruments of righteousness. Not as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but as instruments of righteousness unto God. Why? That'll produce some good fruit. That'll produce some fruit that's to life eternal. Life eternal. Something that'll last. That's what yielded bodies produce. When we yield our members to God, it can produce some things that'll last forever. Amen. Forever. You just think about that. They're not used to smash and grab. They're not used to tear down, to destroy, to hurt, to harm. No. We're to yield them to God. Hey, yield your eyes so that you can see the need. Amen. Some people never see the need because they never yielded their eyes. Never see the need. I mean, it's right there in front of them. They don't see it. Why? Never yielded their eyes to the Lord. Yield your ears so you can hear the truth. Yield your ears so you can hear the truth. Listen, you come to church. I've had folks come to church many times and I've preached to them, or it wasn't just me, other people preached to them. And when they left, it didn't do them a bit of good because never heard what was said. Yep. Never heard what was said. I mentioned to you before, I've been amazed sometimes at what people heard that I don't remember saying. I mean, you go in the home that week and say, "Preacher, it's just like you said in the sermon Sunday." And they reel off something, and I'm going, "Man, I don't remember saying that. Are you sure you were listening to me? Because I didn't have anything to say about what they're saying." Sometimes why? People don't yield their ears. Yield their ears. One of the great things of a good comic is the ability to say to you something you're not expecting. Right. And then it becomes funny, but you go, "Man," because they catch you off guard. You're expecting one thing, they come up with something else. But here's the problem. Oftentimes people sit in the house of God, listen to a preacher preach, and they've been there before, they've heard a lot of preaching in the past, and so they're listening along and they're figuring, "I know what's coming. Right. I know what's coming. So I don't have to listen that close. Just don't have to listen that close." I've been helping out at a school this year and reading with two third graders. And one of them's real bad about coming up with the next word without looking at it. I mean, he's already figured out what the next word is without even looking at it. Now, he can read. And he can look at a word and read those letters and know what that word says. But he'll be reading along and all of a sudden, you know, he just says what he thinks ought to be next. And when it first happened, I'd go, "What?" And at first, I would look at the word and I would think, "How did you get that out of those letters? It's not even close." And finally, I figured out he wasn't looking at that word. He would already skip the next word because he figured he knew what it was without looking. And he goes on, "Whoop, wait a minute, back up a little bit there." But I can't do that to you listening because I'm not sure what you're hearing. Got to yield. Got to yield those ears so you can hear the truth, all right? Hear the truth. Hey, yield your hands. Yield your hands to be helpful. To be helpful. To build up. To support. If necessary, to help carry somebody along. Boy, what's wrong with that? What in the world? Don't you think that would be so good? My son called me the other day. He had a situation, and he called me and said, "Dad, I need you to come help me." And so I came to him and helped him and had to help up somebody that had fallen. And so he called upon me to do that. And so I did. I came and helped him. You know, I got to thinking about that. I could have said, "Find somebody else. I'm busy." But fortunately, I was sitting at my desk with my feet on my desk, my hands behind my head. No, that's not what I was doing. I had something else going on. But I was willing to come and say, "Sure, I'll come help you. I'll come help you." Listen, these hands, your hands, they ought to be yielded to God. Lord, to be yielded to Him. If there's an opportunity to help, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, oftentimes the things that make such a great impact for the cause of Christ are not getting up and preaching. It's not doing that. It's not playing a special. I love good music, man. Whoa, man, yeah. I really love good piano playing. Really love that. And I love good singing. But I'm going to tell you something. Oftentimes what really has an impact is none of that. Amen. It's just somebody that says, "I'll help you. Right. I'll help you. I'll give you some time. I'll use my hands. I'll help you do what's needed. I'll help you." Hey, yield those hands to God. Yield them. Yield those feet of yours that they'd carry the good news. They'd carry the good news of salvation. This world is hungry to hear the truth. The sad thing is many people don't even realize what they're hungry for. don't even realize. My wife oftentimes will ask me, so what do you want to eat? And I say, I don't know. And I really, well, what are you hungry for? I don't know. You know, just put it out here, I'll eat it, you know. But I really don't know what I'm hungry for. And on occasion, there's been times where I said, man, this is what I'd like to have. Tough luck, buddy, we don't have that. Well, why'd you ask, right? Hey, listen, those feet you have, they ought to be put to work carrying the good news of salvation. Remember what the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those? Yeah, those that carry the good tidings of God. That's our feet yielded to Him, our mouth and our tongue. They ought to be yielded to praise the one who saved you. Oh man, yielded to Him. You and I have no right to take that tongue and curse somebody. We have no right to do that. We have no right to take that mouth and just crucify another individual. Chop them up, man. We don't have a right to do that. That mouth, boy, ought to be used. That tongue ought to be used praising God. I know a multitude of songs. A multitude. I don't know why. Some of them I learned on purpose. They come in handy on occasion preaching to teenagers, all right? I was in South Carolina, I guess, last year, the year before, and preaching to teenagers there. And, I entertained them by singing, May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose. This great cultural song, and they didn't know it. And I was amazed, and I told their principal, and the lady was there that's the head of their music. I said, what's wrong with you? I offered to come back for a 2-week symposium. So far, they've not taken me up on that for some reason. But I know a ton of songs like that. They're goofy songs. They're goofy songs. And you say, why'd you learn them? Because I wanted to know them. And I just a bunch of that. But I want to tell you, that's not what I want to major in. Boy, I want people, if somebody hears me singing, if they say, what's that song? I hope what I'm singing is something that's lifting up the Savior. Man, just something that's just glorifying Him. That's what our mouth and tongue, praising the Lord. Yielded members. Hey, yield your mind. Yield your members. Yield them to God. Then I'm going to tell you something. Yield something you may not think about. I think you ought to yield your moods. Your moods. Moodiness is a mistake. Moodiness is one thing that keeps us from being a consistent Christian. Now, I'm sure everybody here has no problem with moodiness, and that's a good thing, I know. But I'm going to say this for somebody that might be listening over YouTube, all right? Just for their benefit. Moodiness is something that can create strife, create division among people, because everybody does not understand your moods. The problem is you do not carry a sign with you when you have become moody. You don't carry a sign that says, don't bother me, I'm going through a phase. You don't do that. Hey, wait a minute. I just want to be sure you guys understand. I ain't just preaching to the ladies, all right?
Come on, amen.
I'm preaching to men too. Men get moody. Moody. Years ago, we had a girl came to school. And boy, I loved her family. And they're members of the church for years and years. And this girl would come to school, and I drove at that time. We picked kids up on the bus for school. And I was a lucky guy. I got to drive it most of the time. And so I remember pulling up in front of her house. When she came out of the house, you knew what kind of day it was going to be. There were some days she came out of the house, steam was puffing out both ears. I said, I don't know what happened this morning, but it wasn't good. And it's going to be tough today at school. On the other hand, every day she'd come out and life was just wonderful. And you could tell. And as the one that had to work with her in school, I'm going, thank God.
Amen.
It's going to be an easier day. Hey, moodiness. You know, whatever the mood is, whatever it is. Well, you know, I'm upset. Okay, or I'm disappointed. Or I'm feeling kind of low today. Okay, fine. Look, everybody else doesn't know that. You ever been in a restaurant and the waiter or waitress was having a bad day? Now, most of us don't react well to that. What's wrong with them? Could I speak to the manager? Could I move to another table? Listen, we don't like moodiness in other people. So you need to control it in you.
Amen.
You need to work to control it, all right? God's people, I believe with all my heart, ought to work to control the mood they're in. Now, I realize immediately somebody says, I can't help it, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Truthfully, you're the only one that can. You say, what kind of moods? Well, anger, for instance. You get angry? Man, I get angry sometimes. I admit to you, I get angry. Sometimes we get that poor me feeling. I've been mistreated. Nobody appreciates me. If they just knew my true worth. And we get down, you know. And we're just all out of it, and we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. Hey, those are just some of the moods. Yeah, work to control it, all right? You have to work to maintain what I call just a consistent personality. It ought to be that way. Somebody calls on the phone, and I answer the phone. When they ask me, how you doing? You know what I always say? Man, I'm having a big time. You said, are you? Yeah. Sometimes a big bad time. Sometimes a big good time. But it's a big time. You go to the grocery, go to Walmart. They always say, how you doing today? I said, life's wonderful. What could be better? I'm here shopping at Walmart. You said, do you feel that way? Not all the time. Hardly ever. Okay. But I don't want to come there. They're not really wanting you to tell them how you are. All right. I'm mad as a wet hen. This stupid place, man, I can't find anything. And all the junk that used to be in one place, you moved it. Why do you keep shuffling stuff around? About the time I find it, you move it. I felt that way on numerous occasions. But I realized it's not going to do any good to tell them. The truth of the matter is, there's fat chance that checker had anything to do with moving anything in that store. Nothing to do with it. So why don't I take it out on them? Hey, control the mood you've got. Just work at it a little bit. Hey, get your eyes, your heart, your mind off of yourself and put it on the Savior, would you? Put it on the Savior. That'll help you to yield that mind and your mood, if you will, to Him. That mood to Him. Oh, yeah, we all have tough days from time to time. But the person that you look at and says, well, they're always on top of the world. They never have a bad day. No, they're just better at hiding it than you are. They have a bad day. They have a tough time. Yield it, though. Yield yourselves to God. Hey, the flesh comes and said, yield to me. The Holy Spirit comes and said, would you yield yourself to me today? He wants your mind. He wants your members. He wants your moods. And lastly tonight, would you look at verse 17? I'm going to put it this way. He wants you to yield your muscle. But one specific muscle. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Oh, you've yielded the muscle, that old heart muscle. Have you ever looked through the Bible and checked out how many things God asked you to give to Him? So, well, preacher, I can't forget it. You're always preaching on money. Give. Wait a minute. Truth of the matter is, most of preaching on money is to get you to give what you owe God, not what you're giving to Him. It's giving to Him what's owed Him. So you're not giving, you're just paying what you owe. But I'll tell you, Proverbs 23, verse 26, The Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. You say, well, I did that when I got saved. Most people don't.
Amen.
Most people don't. We trust Christ. We ask him to save our soul.
That's right.
But we don't give him our heart.
Right.
We don't yield it. Hey, I believe that's the, if you will, I don't like the term secret, but I believe this is a secret for yielding yourself to God. It's yielding your heart. It's giving your heart to him. Because you see, the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked.
Amen.
Desperately wicked. It's out of the heart that wicked thoughts and deeds and desires are produced. That's where they come from. It's out of the heart. It's out of the heart. It is not just the mind that figures those things out. It comes from the heart of man, and we have these longings, we have these desires, and they're evil. And people then act upon what they want out of the heart. That crowd that's been rioting across many cities in our land, you know what's going on? Their heart's being played outwardly, and the thought came, I want that, and I want that. Somebody owes me that, and this is a chance for me to get that.
Right.
It's out of the heart of man. Right. Well, if we could just get that heart yielded to God, just get it yielded to him. Is it still desperately wicked? Yep. Is it still deceitful? Yes, it is. But boy, if we'll just yield it to God, give it to him and say, Lord, help me to want the right things. You know, I've got a good wanter. How about y'all? Man, my wanter sometimes works overtime. And I can just want all kinds of stuff. But man, what I want to do really is I want the Lord to put in my life and my heart, help me to want what he wants, that I might yield myself to him. When the heart is yielded to God, your desire is going to be right. Your desire is going to be right. Not only that, I believe your direction will be right. Your direction will be right. Your doing will be right. Why? Because you yielded your heart to God. Lord, here it is. I'll give it to you, and help me. Help me. So how do you yield? How do you yield? First of all, I think you yield consciously. It's a conscious decision. It is not something that happens unconsciously or accidentally. It is a conscious thing. I will give my members to God. I will yield my heart to God. I will yield my moods to God. I will yield my mind to God. It's a conscious decision. Conscious decision. Just speaking about moods, I found myself in a bad mood on occasion. An occasion I found myself taking it out on my wife. And I stopped and I think, you know, darling, I'm sorry. You hadn't done a thing. There's nothing wrong. You hadn't done anything. And I can't tell you why. I'm just in a bad mood. Just forgive me. And I had to work on myself a little bit. But I'm the one that could do that work. It's conscious. A conscious work. Not only does it need to be done consciously, it needs to be done daily. It's not enough for you to get up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, it's all yours this week. I'm giving it to you. Because by Monday afternoon, if you're not careful, you'll be forgot. I guarantee you by Wednesday, you've forgotten. The old flesh is reared up and it's been stirred and it comes back strong. That's why, boy, that yielding needs to be done daily. On a daily basis, I'm yielding. It needs to be done personally. That's not a group activity. Personally. I hated in college. I hated in school, if it's high school or anywhere. Hated when we did group projects. Hated. Man, I despise those things. What usually winds up happening is one person does all the work. And the other one's just coached along and say, keep doing it, keep doing it. Keep doing it. The only time I enjoyed it is when I was in college in physics class, and there was a guy there who was real smart, and I was dumber than a brick in physics, and it sure did help me, you know. I leaned on him pretty heavy. But I'll be honest, the truth of the matter is, yielding is a personal thing. It's a personal thing. I can't yield for my wife. I cannot yield for my son. Can't do that. I can't yield for you. You cannot yield for me. It's a personal thing. I have to do it. I'm the one that has to do it. Boy, so it needs to be done consciously. It needs to be done daily. It needs to be done personally. Now, here's the last one. It needs to be done completely. A complete yielding of yourself to God. Here I am. My members, my mind, my moods, my muscle, Lord, my heart, everything I am, it's yours. I'm going to yield it to you. I'm giving it to you. Giving it to you. You know what? When you do that, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to the mission field. No. Just means you're going to do what God wants you to do. It just means the Lord has access to you and all that you are and all that you have. It becomes His, and He can use you because you've yielded to Him. You've yielded yourself to Him. Hey, all you've got, just completely, here I am. Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do, that's good, that's fine. I'm willing, but I'm yours. Hey, got a question. Will the gentleman yield? Will the lady yield? Will you yield tonight? Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield to Him. Yield to Him. Have you done that? For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Hey, will you yield? Will you yield tonight? Or are you going to say, nope, I'm hanging on to a little bit of it anyway? No, you need to yield it all. Would you stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? So get ready for the invitation and just ask you tonight, will you yield? Hey, what are you holding back from God? Oftentimes we yield everything except this. Except this. Will you yield to Him completely? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to see the truth. And Lord, help us to be willing to yield to you. The old flesh comes and demands that we yield to it. But Lord, help us to listen to that Holy Spirit as He pleads with us to yield to Him. Lord, that we might produce some fruit unto righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We sing the invitation tonight. If you need to come, the altar's open. Would you come while we sing? Come on.
Just as I am without one plea,
but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. I trust that you'll have a great week, all right? Great week. Now remember to pray for those that we've asked you to pray for, all right? They need your prayer. So please pray for them. And don't forget the things that are coming up. Say what? Well, Wednesday night service.
Amen.
7:30. I hope you'll be here, all right? Hope you'll be here. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget those of you who have helped Mrs. Kelly clean after church on Sunday night. We got a big job. Oh, no, I wasn't supposed to say
Amen.
That. No, if you helped her clean after church, if you would meet back there in the corner, all right? So if you'd do that after we're dismissed. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer if we could. Brother Smart, would you dismiss us?